Welcome to the Two Writing Teachers podcast. Two Writing Teachers is a meeting place for a world of reflective writers. Here on the podcast, we are excited to talk about ways to create, lead, and sustain joyful and productive writing workshops. My name is Stacey Schubitz, and I'm here with my colleague Melanie Meehan. Let's work together to inspire and empower students to be competent, brave, and confident writers. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro FM, you can pick from more than 275,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there. You know the name. But you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to squeeze more reading into your busy life. Listen with the free Libro FM app while you do your chores, walk the dog, or relax at home. If you already love audiobooks and need to know what to listen to next, check out recommendations from the people who know best, booksellers. Two Writing Teachers podcast listeners can take advantage of this special offer. Get two audiobooks on Libro FM for the price of one, $14.99, with your first month of membership with code TWTPOD. That's TWTPOD. Offer only valid for new members in Canada and the United States.
Hi, everyone. I'm Melanie Meehan. I am here with my friend and my colleague, Stacey Schubitz. Hi, Stacey. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm really excited to talk about the classic mini lesson today.
Yeah, this one feels like a really important one for a lot of people. It's a great offshoot from the last podcast that we did about really the entire workshop structure and how it might be. I think as we were talking about that, we were like, we really need a whole one on a mini lesson.
Mm-hmm. It's really important to know the structure of a mini lesson and also how to deliver it. So we're going to attempt to help you with that today so that if your mini lessons are feeling clunky or they're going a little long, we're going to give you tips and tricks for making it short.
Yeah.
Keeping it short.
Keeping it short.
And why do we want to keep it short? Like, let's just right up front say why.
Well, there's a couple big important reasons. One is, you know, a really good mini lesson being about, you know, 7 to 10 minutes is about the length of a person's attention span. So this is how much brain energy I have that I can dedicate toward listening to you teach something, and then I'm tuning out. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then I think the other thing is that's really important to think about is that most writing blocks are about 45 minutes to an hour. And you want to make sure that there's plenty of time for kids to go try out skills. And if you're talking for a longer time than that, there's not enough time for authentic and independent practice of the skills and the repertoires that kids are building as writers.
Yep. If you go too long, they don't have enough time to practice.
Yeah. And
we want them to practice. That's where the heart of the workshop really is in the center of that workshop. And that's the independent writing time.
Yeah, last time I checked, I don't get good at anything without trying it out. So let me have a go.
Yep.
One of the things that I want to just really emphasize and say up front too is that your mini lesson is whole class instruction. Mm-hmm. And number one, it shouldn't take you the entire like planning allotment that you have given yourself in terms of getting ready for your writing lesson, because you want to spend time thinking about conferences and about small group instruction and about looking at kids' writing. So you want to listen to this kind of maybe with the lens of how can I make it easier for myself to plan my mini lesson? Because I think that there's a really easy trap to fall in of spending, you know, a half hour to an hour, even planning your mini lesson and then delivering it for 7 minutes. And then you're like, oh gosh, I still have all this other stuff to do. So give yourself permission to get faster and more efficient at planning mini lessons.
It's only going to benefit your students if you spend more time planning for conferences and for your small group instruction. Just think of the mini lesson as a forum for whole class instruction. It's a place where you're going to teach writing behaviors or process procedures. You're going to demonstrate a technique or strategy, or you're going to reinforce a skill. you're only doing one of those things. One.
One.
O-N-E. Like, that's like, highlight that, boldface it. It's just one. And that's what's going to keep it really short and focused, is because you're just doing one thing.
Right. And maybe it's helpful to just hear that that one thing might not be the thing that's mastered by everybody during the workshop, and that it's sort of like a cyclical, messy building the skills as kids go. And that's, that is okay. Mm-hmm. That being said, also, it might be that the mini lesson and the lesson that you're planning for that day isn't something that every single student is ready for or needing. Sometimes 70% is my number that I think about. Like, this is, I want my mini lessons to be responsive. I want my instruction to be responsive, but not everybody is going to need the same thing every single time. You're going to have some kids who aren't quite ready, and you're going to have some kids who don't need it. Think about this, your mini lesson, the whole group instruction, as hitting about 70% of the kids sitting in front of you.
And so the, not question, but I guess the question becomes, what do you do with that other 30%? And the answer is, you plan for small group instruction. If you can pull a few of those kids together and they need the same thing, or that time is spent planning your conferences with those kids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So those are just kind of helpful things to just say up front. Stacey, do you want to talk about the architecture of a mini lesson and sticking with that really tightly?
Yeah, we're going to spend today just talking about the classic mini lesson. We're going to talk about coaching mini lessons and inquiry mini lessons in another episode. So today we are just focusing on that classic structure. It has four parts. There is a connection, there is a teach, an active engagement, and a link. And I want to just lay out for you the approximate amount of time for each of those, so that when we go back in a moment and we dig into those parts, then you can keep in mind the timing. So a connection is 1 to 2 minutes, no longer. It is an opportunity to activate students' prior knowledge by connecting what they're going to learn to previous things they've already learned. The teach is the second part, and it is 3 to 6 minutes long. You are teaching one new strategy to help kids become a better writer. And again, it may not be a strategy. It could be a skill. It could also be a behavior. Again, 3 to 6 minutes. The active engagement, depending on how much time you have in your writing workshop and what it is that the kids are trying out, I could say it's about 3 to 6 minutes long, because you need to provide students with the time to try out the strategy in their own writing or by working with a partner. They could be writing in the air, they could be talking, whatever it is, it's no longer than that. And then the link, 1 to 2 minutes. You're reminding students of the strategy that they learned and how it connects to the ongoing work that they are doing in the classroom so that they can grow their repertoire of writing skills.
So breaking that down,
yep.
If we're thinking, just like thinking sequentially and thinking mm-hmm. about the connection, it's actually one of my favorite parts of the workshop. And, you know, sometimes there are scripts for the connections and they'll be like, you know, here's exactly what you could say. I don't love that.
Nope.
Typically, what I will try to do, and this is kind of a fun little challenge that I will suggest to teachers, I'll try to relate it to something else that relates to my personal life. Mm-hmm. So, as an example, you know, my soccer is an important part of my life. There's a lot of different moves that you can do in soccer. Just like there's a lot of different moves that you can do in soccer, there's a lot of different moves that you can do in a narrative writing piece to elaborate. And today I'm going to teach you those. Mm-hmm. So I'll like share a little part of my life that somehow relates to what the teaching point's going to be. And the reason that I like doing that is that it, number one, for the kids who always come straight to the rug and do it quickly and effectively, they get to hear kind of a story that they want to hear. Mm-hmm. For the kids who struggle to get to the rug effectively and efficiently, they want to get there because they want to hear my story and they're more apt to get there. Mm-hmm. And for the kids who don't get there, it isn't critical that they hear it for the rest of my lesson. So if they miss it because they are that kid that just tends to transition longer, they're A, not holding kids up as hostage who do transition well, mm-hmm. B, not missing something that I critically want them to do. So a mm-hmm. lot of the times I'll stay the connection kind of quietly to the kids who are there in front of me. And by the time I'm ready to teach, almost everybody is there. Generally speaking, everybody's there.
Right. So if they're not there, they are listening from their seat in my world, because I can't have people coming on and off the rug. We can sometimes, if it's appropriate, allow for a little bit of engagement in the connection by asking for a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I don't love the idea of having kids turn and talk to their partner, because I feel like that throws open the door to everyone making a comment, and then the mini lesson is derailed. It goes too long. And this is a time for you to be teaching the students explicitly. They will have their turn to practice shortly. So when you are in the connection, whether you engage the students with like a thumbs up, thumbs down type of thing really quickly or not, you're sharing something. You might say yesterday, so I'm going to give some phrases now that you might want to use if you need these phrases. They're in Welcome to Writing Workshop starting on page 76, but I'll just read them out. Hopefully they will help. You might say, yesterday we were working on, today I want to teach you, and then name your teaching point. To this day, I've been doing workshop stuff since 2004. I still say, today I want to teach you. I think it's a great way to activate your students to know, this is where I really needed to turn my brain on and really listen.
Stacey, what I want to just say about that, because this is sort of funny. Mm-hmm. I have taught kids explicitly that when I say that phrase, I should see, because I also use that phrase and I mm-hmm. use it pretty routinely. I should see them all look at me the way my dog looks at me when I go to the cookie jar. Like as soon as they hear today, I'm going to teach you, they should be paying as close attention as mm-hmm. my dog Okie and Winnie do when mm-hmm. I say, when I head for that cookie jar. And they love that. The kids really love that.
Yep. It's a signal. And also, you could, if you're using a mentor text, you might start in the connection saying, in our mentor text, the author, and you might name the author's craft if you're teaching a craft mini lesson. But again, this can still fall within the confines of the classic mini lesson structure. So before we move on to the teach, do you have anything else to add about the connection?
I guess I would just say it is quick. It's a minute or two tops. If you are finding yourself in the countdown mode, like so many people are like spending so much time counting down, like 10, 9, 8, like don't do it. That's where I would just really lean into the power of a quiet voice that kids want to listen to. Mm-hmm. Just really being relevant and inviting so that there's no question that kids are not going to get to the rug and be listening to you.
That's actually a great tip. It reminds me of when I'm reading aloud and I'm asking kids to turn and talk and I want them to come back to the text. I'm going to reread a couple of sentences softly, and then everyone somehow comes right back because they want to hear the rest of the book. So that's a great tip, Melanie. Let's move on to teaching. Okay. This is really the heart of the mini lesson. There are four teaching methods. There's demonstration, guided practice, explanation with example, and inquiry. And today we're really talking about mini lessons that use the demonstration or the explanation with the example.
Yeah, I think that as you are hearing us talk about these, you want to also put on your lens of efficiency. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing an example, it's going to be easier to be efficient, because you're showing something that's already being done. If you're doing demonstration, it's a little trickier to be efficient. So we'll give you some tips about that.
Mm-hmm. So here are some phrases that you can use before we give you those tips. So you might say, when I write, you could say, watch me as I show you how I, and then you're setting up your demonstration. After that, you're going to have to debrief the demonstration you did, and you can say, did you notice how I, and that's just like getting kids back to think, okay, like I kind of just saw it, but like I'm going to really notice this one thing. If you are doing an explanation with example, then you might say, when authors write, or if you're using a student written mentor text, you could do the same type of thing. Like when da-da-da wrote, and then you could say, like, let's study this text together. And then when you're calling them back, you could say, did you notice how the author, and then you're pointing out what the author did, and that's reflective of your teaching point.
It's almost like the part of the mini lesson where I'm thinking about turning my brain inside out for kids. like I want them to think the way I'm thinking about writing and what I'm doing as a writer, or what I'm noticing that somebody else did as a writer. So mm-hmm. if you're like doing that outward thinking, then it's more accessible to them as learners.
Yeah, I like that. It's really important to be prepared for the teach part of the mini lesson.
That's where I was like almost thinking about like the quick tips. And mm-hmm. a lot of the times I'll say to teachers, use post-its. Like invest in those big post-its that you can have, because you can kind of have those ready to go and pull them and show them the writing that you've done. Mm-hmm. So it almost is like a hybrid of doing the demonstration, because it's you who've done it, mm-hmm. and the example, because it's there right now for them. Mm-hmm. And if you're the type of writer who takes a little longer to write, and you just sometimes make mistakes when you're writing in front of kids, which is okay to do. Mm-hmm. But if you're self-conscious of that, make them for yourself ahead of time on big sticky notes so that you can just put them right up and show them. And that's a powerful efficiency tool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a quick typer, you can do it on your smart board and have everything hooked up. But it is really more efficient to do it that way. And the other things that you should have right there is, if you've got your mentor text, have, you know, post-it notes,
yeah.
Right? Have the page mark. Don't waste a second. Make sure that you have any writing utensils that you need, and you know, so that kids aren't going back to their seats. Have some extra pens or pencils available, so you can just dole them right out. Like, here you go, take it. We're gonna move on, and that's taking us over to the active engagement, because we want kids to come prepared, but we don't want to penalize them if they are not. But we want them to get to work quickly, because we are trying to stay on track with our time.
Right.
So before we get into the active engagement, let's take a quick break.
Strong readers and writers are more likely to succeed in school, their careers, and in life. But first, kids need to develop background knowledge, vocabulary, and skills like comprehension to really strengthen their literacy. There's no question this is critical for their future. That's where BrainPop comes in. It's a learning platform proven to build knowledge and skills, but in the way kids like to learn, through movies and games. BrainPop makes kids really want to learn through the power of storytelling, a great sense of humor, and an animated cast of characters. While kids are laughing away with a movie after dinner or a game before bed, they're actually growing their minds. It's a win for them and a win for you. BrainPop is proven to help students succeed too. Just ask a teacher. They've been using it in school for over 24 years because it's backed by research, and they've seen how much students can accomplish when learning feels fun. Now, the same team has made this award-winning platform easy to plug into your family's routine at home. Preparing your kids for a lifetime of achievement starts when you press play. You can try it free for 2 weeks and take 15% off your first month or year of membership. Just use our code TWTPOD15. This offer applies to BrainPop Family or Homeschool and new subscribers only. And we are back. And we're kind of at that point in the mini lesson where we have brought the kids down to the rug. We've connected it and invited them into the lesson. We've given one clear teaching point and taught into it, either with examples or demonstration. So at this point in your mini lesson, kids should be chomping at the bit to want to try it out. Mm-hmm. And that's where you really move into the distinct third component, which I would call active engagement.
Yep. So when you're planning your active engagement, it's really important to think about a few things. First, you need to set it up really clearly. Second, your active engagement must match the demonstration. It shouldn't be something that's completely unrelated, because then kids won't be actively involved. They'll be saying, we don't know what to do. If it's not exactly what you did, it should be pretty close.
I feel like that's a really great way to self-assess your own clarity as a teacher. Mm-hmm. So if you're not sure what to ask them to do or try, then it might be that your teaching point isn't as clear and your teaching isn't as clear as it should or could be. Mm-hmm. And that translates to students' learning and understanding. So if you know what you were teaching and kids are following and understanding what they should be learning, then it should be not a surprise what you're asking them to do during an active engagement.
Right, because you want all kids involved in that active engagement. If they're not, then something's up. And finally, at the end of your active engagement, and Melanie's going to dive a little deeper into this, I'm going to put you on the spot in just a second to talk about the active engagements that kids could do. You have to bring some closure to it by sharing what you noticed and or by highlighting a couple of students. And again, that needs to be in the time frame. If you have the ability to walk around the meeting area so that you can listen in, watch what kids are doing, that's great. This will help bring closure to the active engagement. So Melanie, before I share phrases, talk about different types of active engagements that kids might do.
Yeah. So I will say, and I was so happy Stacey was saying that about it, because active engagement is really a time for you to do a little bit of assessment mm-hmm. and seeing if kids are really able to be processing and trying this out effectively. So a few different ways that you can do it. One, and this is probably like the most popular and the biggest go-to, is having what I would call a turn and talk. Typically, when kids are sitting at the right at on the rug for your writing lesson, they're sitting next to their writing partner. They might not be. They might be sitting next to a peer, but they should be able to turn to that peer and have a conversation about what it is you just taught about.
I just want to tuck in one tip. Make sure kids know who they're supposed to talk to. If their elbow partner or their writing partner is absent that day, maybe they have a small group. Like, it shouldn't be a mystery, because that's, again, going to suck time away.
Mm-hmm. I'd add another tip that you can have those elbow partners be threesomes for kids who sometimes yep. miss the instruction or are chronically absent or mm-hmm. you know, the ones who just aren't as available. Mm-hmm. Make it be a regular threesome. So that's another tip that you can have. Another tip that I would give about turn and talks is give kids a moment to gather their thoughts before you ask them to turn and talk. If you yes. just give them like a few seconds to say, okay, I'm going to ask you to talk about this. Just gather your thoughts. Now go ahead and have a conversation. Just that gift of time for some of the processing to happen is a huge one for a lot of kids, including me. So
people need wait time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a big wait time society these days. Yeah. We need to make sure to give that in the active engagement. I think that's a really crucial tip. So, what are some other things that you might do in an active engagement with kiddos?
One that takes a little longer, but is sometimes really worth the time, I would say is I would call a stop and jot. Mm-hmm. And that's one where I would have kids bring a clipboard or something hard to write on and a writing utensil, and I would ask them to give it a try right there at the writing workshop. Mm-hmm. So, and I will teach into putting their initials or their name on that post-it so that I can even collect it or have them bring it back and I can walk around and see it. But it's a really nice way to take a quick inventory of how they did with whatever teaching point I was just giving them. So that works with one that maybe requires a little bit less writing than other teaching points. It also works if you're teaching repertoire and you might want to say to kids, just take a minute and write down two or three of the strategies that I've just mentioned that you might want to try in writing so that you have those. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that stop and jot is not just trying it out, but maybe it's making a tool for themselves to help them remember to do it when they're doing their authentic practice.
Mm-hmm. Another type of thing that I would have students do is to also go into their writing and look for something. It could be a revision lesson where you're asking them to find a spot that they want to revise during the independent writing time of the workshop, and they're putting a star next to it. They might jot a couple of notes. If it's an editing lesson, then perhaps they're having a go with the strategy and just trying to edit their work in progress. So that way they are getting a jump start and they know what it is they're going to do when they go back to their writing spot.
I like thinking about the active engagement being almost a jump start. It almost is like an extra little strategy in the repertoire of the things that you can try, right? Mm-hmm. Like have a jump start at it.
Anything else before I share phrases?
One other thing that sometimes I will ask kids to do, and this is if I really am losing their attention and I want to move them along, mm-hmm. is I will say to them, you know, I want you just to put your hand on your head or your finger on your nose or fold your hands, like some kind of a body cue, and I try to mix it up. If you have an idea that relates to this teaching that I just did that you could share. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it puts the onus on everybody to think of something. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, I'll have somebody put their finger on their nose or their hand on the head, and I'll call on them and they'll be like, I don't know. I'm like, well, it was your job to know since you put your hand on your head. Like that's an opportunity for me to teach into. I expect you to be turning your brain on and trying this out during this time. And they don't necessarily know who I'm going to call on.
So basically what you're saying is anyone who has their hand on their head is free game to be called on.
Exactly.
I do think it's important to know that there are some kids who just don't want to talk. And even if their hand's on their head, maybe don't call on them and put them on the spot. But I like the idea of that accountability. It's a quick assessment, and it also is keeping kids accountable for if they put their hand on their head, then they know that they might be called upon to speak.
It's a powerful assessment also to see who takes a little while longer. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost like a processing speed assessment. Mm-hmm. And there are some kids who authentically put their hand right on their head because they've been kind of developing their idea during your entire teach. Mm-hmm. And there are some kids who just don't get there. Sometimes right. I will even pull those kids who don't get there as a small group after my mini lesson.
Immediately following. Mm-hmm.
To just, yeah.
I want to just give a few phrases that people could use in the active engagement. The first one is, now it's your turn to try it. Again, this is one of those tried and true phrases I have been using for close to 20 years. I think it's really effective because kids know, okay, she or he, they showed me what it is that I need to do, and now I have to try it too. You might say you are going to, and then that's where you're setting up the active engagement. You might say you and your partner or partners are going to, and that's, again, where you're setting it up. And then to bring everyone back together, you can say, I noticed, and then share things that you noticed. Now, I will say there are times that I will say something I noticed that maybe was approximated.
I love that you're getting into this because I do this a lot.
It's a dirty little secret.
Dirty little secret.
And like, it's not that kids aren't doing it, but they're like approximating it. And you just want to kind of make it clear that the approximation's great, but you're going to want to make it clearer for your students. So that's when you're saying a little bit of an embellishment of what you noticed.
Yeah. Like what you wish you noticed.
What I wish I noticed.
But they don't need to know that.
No.
So let's finish this podcast up with talking about the link and, mm-hmm. and what you might expect, say, do, want to have happen during that last little part of your mini lesson.
Yeah, I mean, this is the closure to the lesson. It is linking back to what they already know about writing.
what was taught during the lesson, and then telling them this is a strategy that they can add to their toolbox, or it's a behavior or skill or whatever that they can add to their toolbox. When thinking about that link, I think it's really important to restate the teaching point in the same language that was used at the end of the connection.
Yeah, great tip.
Because when that language is heard again in the same way, it sticks a little better. And then in the link, you want to make sure to give students direction rather than an assignment for what to do next, because the link should be suggestive of things that the student can do depending on where they are in the writing process. And not everyone, remember back to Melanie's 70%, not everyone's in the same place on the same day. So giving a menu of possibilities is helpful.
Yeah. You might think about it as like a repertoire, right? You're building it for kids and they're sort of starting to messily put everything together. And it's just like giving them another ingredient that they have in their writing soup.
Yep. And you can say today and every day, I want you to remember that writers, that's where you're going to restate your teaching point. I think it's really important at the end of the link, this is my personal soapbox, to have kids plan. What are they going to do? Are they going to try out the strategy when they return to their focus spot? Are they going to do something else because they're somewhere else in the writing process? A plan doesn't have to be written. It could be sketched if you have young students. It can be a turn and talk if that is something that would benefit your students. It doesn't have to look the same every day. Some days kids might write, some kids may orally rehearse their plans on another day.
One other really quick tip that I would just say to end your workshop, and then maybe we should end our podcast, is you can prevent kids from sort of asking those final questions and holding other kids hostage by saying, if you have questions, stay on the rug. And if you can envision what you're going to be working on through your plan box or through however else you're doing it, off you go to your writing. Mm-hmm. So again, that's like I've seen so many times teachers who will say, does anybody have any questions? And you have one kid who has like three and everybody is sitting there waiting and ready to go write, but then not ready to write by the time he finishes asking the questions. Mm-hmm. So that's just a quick tip and a quick change of phrase of, if you have questions, stay on the rug, otherwise off you go. Mm-hmm.
So, I think we should end with that and expect some mini lesson tips and tricks as a tip for tomorrow in the near future.
Thank you for listening to the Two Writing Teachers podcast. Check out the show notes for links to the items we mentioned in this episode, as well as ways to connect with us. For more about the teaching of writing, head over to the Two Writing Teachers blog at twowritingteachers.org. If you liked what you heard today, please share it with your friends and colleagues, post about it on social media, like, subscribe, and leave us ratings and reviews. Our music is by Lemon Music Studio. If you'd like to connect with us, email us at contact@twowritingteachers.org. Thanks again for listening. Let's teach, learn, and write on together.